right. Happy Sunday. Hi, Susan. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. So today's show is about disposition.
Which is, please explain.
Disposition is the fancy word for burial. It refers to the final methods of handling a deceased person's remains.
Cool.
So it's, you know, laying the body to rest, whatever that may mean for someone.
Okay, let's get into it. We've looked up all the different so-called green burials, which is becoming much more accepted now than, because as we probably know, crematoriums use a lot of energy. They're no longer efficient. They release toxins. They used to be brilliant in the 20th century. It was the next step. But now, here we are in the 21st century, and wanting to figure out how to go back to, as they say, sustainable ways to give our loved ones a rest.
Especially sustainable disposition.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And especially on Kauai, because where most of us are probably going to be buried here. So it's nice to know more humane ways to deal with our bodies, or more... Mm-hmm. Whatever, ecological, whatever the word is. But, yeah, it's an exciting topic for me because I want to be buried on my land and just decompose. Yep. And I also have this, I might as well say it now because it's my main, something that's really been important to me, which is if, since there's such an issue with Hawaiian bones and proper burial places, for Hawaiians, if we step away from crematoriums, then it's something that places like Waipa Valley or some of the land that's designated for Hawaiian perpetuation anyway can take an acre or two and bury the kapunas. And their bones would never have to be moved. Mm-hmm. And it would be, you know, it would be great for farmlands. I hate to make the joke, but it's all good fertilizer. And you can bury a lot of people on 1 acre. So anyway, I'm hoping that places like Waipa, and I can't think of all the places around that have enough land to designate a place for our kapunas.
MacBride.
Right, you know all those
Knudsen.
Yeah. Anyway,
Robinson.
I'm just hoping that maybe it's an idea that will catch on at some point, because I am really against mortuaries who embalm you and crematoriums that burn you up just for not for any other reason than the harm that they actually do to the planet otherwise.
Well, now. So some of the impetus behind embalming, right?
We know where that... Yeah, it was a good idea at the time.
Well, and you have to... Some people want to have burial at home or have a... it really just depends on what happens when you die.
Well,
and
I
where
think
you
when
die.
Bodhi, what, excuse me, when Bodhi calls,
yeah,
I think he does home burials, because of course, if you want to keep your family home without embalming.
Oh, and he does home funerals without
home
embalming.
Funerals without embalming. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. We both found out that embalming started during the war, the First World War, when they wanted to bring home the bodies of the soldiers, which was wonderful. Mm-hmm. So that people got to say goodbye to their loved ones. But again, we're just talking about moving forward, you know, what's next when embalming, really, we're finding out, doesn't.
Well, Bodhi B is going to call in about 12:30, and we can ask him.
We'll have to ask him about the embalming mm-hmm. part for sure.
So one of the cooler, more modern ways that I saw that people are getting laid to rest, dispositioned, is space burial.
Outer space
burial. So from what I gather is they adhere your remains onto the back of a rocket. It goes up into space. It orbits and does whatever it's there to do. And then it comes down. And when it comes down, there's a part of the fuselage that dislodges. And that's the part that has your ashes in it. And then you become space dust again.
That's what Timothy Leary did. He got sent up into space, I forgot, with a couple other people.
Seriously?
Yeah, decades ago,
right? Oh, great.
Yeah, but now it's become monetized.
So yeah.
People can buy a rocket to go up in space with.
They're actually calling it a space funeral.
Cool.
Yeah, a space funeral, also known as a celestial burial. You launch a small portion of your ashes into space.
Oh, just a small portion?
Yeah. It'd be cool if they launched your whole 7 pounds of you.
Yeah, right.
The whole thing would change the trajectory of the rocket if it got too heavy.
Right. Like the butterfly flapping its wings.
Right. I wanted to see how much it costs. Because it's crazy expensive.
That.
No, they probably won't.
So meanwhile, should we talk about all the different things that we found on AI?
What did you see that sparked your fancy?
Well, the whole list of different things. But one of the things they don't have on, and I would like to talk about, is there used to be something called a mushroom spore suit back in the 80s. I saw it on TED Talks, and you put someone in this suit and it's filled with spores and you become a mushroom patch. And mushrooms are put into lakes to clean lakes. They're used a lot of places because they somehow eat up toxins. So If your body's put into a suit like that, it will kind of gobble you up before you're released into the environment. And I always thought that was brilliant. And recently I looked it up and they don't make the suits anymore. But
I'm sure
mushroom spores are not that difficult.
I was going to say, I'm sure you can make you one.
Well, or you can just get buried and put spores on top, or however you're supposed to do it. Anyway, so they don't list that one, but that's my number one favorite to get rid of all the toxins.
So I looked up the space flight costs and I found it. It's anywhere from $3,400 to $13,000.
Oh. That's not as bad as I thought.
No, I was looking up a guy who does sea burials.
Right.
Here in Hawaii. He has an outfit that he must partner with other people on other islands. But on a bigger boat, like if you wanted to have a legit funeral with 50 people or something, right, he'd charge you like $25,000 and finance it to you.
Well, we won't even go there because just the idea of being taken out to sea, you can have your party at the beach.
Well, I was thinking everybody, take me out to sea, everybody eat sushi off of me, and then dump me over the edge.
Right. That's, Diddy did that with a body and sushi. But the thing about dumped at sea, and we could ask this to Bodhi because he also does ocean burials, is do they have to put you in one of those plastic bags, because that defeats the whole purpose. And from every funeral I've ever seen of like important people on the TV, they're always in black bags. And I've originally wanted to be taken out to sea, but not in a black bag.
I'm pretty sure you have to be in a compostable, you know.
Oh, maybe
like
a compostable
shroud or something.
Well, like I said, I've never researched it, but I saw pictures of people being dumped at sea, and they were always in the plastic bags.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a mess. Somebody asked me, would you take my body to sea? And I said, no way. That's
but you
a mess.
Do take ashes.
But I'll take ashes, but the body's a little bit different.
Yeah, that's a... You have to weigh it down or do all kinds.
Yeah,
anyway,
like a pain in them.
That's different than what I was talking about. I was talking about after you're gone, being taken out to sea, not take me out and let me drown. That's
well,
a different. That's a whole other different topic.
That's a different topic. No, but taking you out to sea, taking your body out to sea. I know you have to drive 5 miles out, and then.
Is it 5? I thought it was 10.
No, I think it's only 5.
Anyway, it's out.
It's out. And then they want you to have a license when you do that.
And a cooler, a because I mm-hmm. wanted a friend of mine to do. You have to have like a big enough fish cooler to fit a body,
mm-hmm.
because you have to. Sometimes you can't go out that day.
Mm-mm.
So
yeah, and you have to have a refrigerator.
A refrigerator. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's definitely. I knew that part of it. It's not just.
You probably have to have a license to transport a body too.
I'm sure it gets very bureaucratic.
Mm-hmm.
But sure, you know, right. Like us scoff laws here on the North Shore, we
pirate sea burials.
Anyway,
I'm sure it's happened.
Oh, without a doubt, I know.
So, okay, we've got sea burial. We've got space burial.
Mushroom burial.
And
what the computer says, burial.
I know what another one.
What?
Composting. So part of the green burial fad or return to is what they call composting burials. And you go and you... So when you get buried at home, we're not going to bury you 6 feet under. That's too far.
No, they say only 3 feet.
Yeah, and they say 3 feet because it's
the smell barrier.
Well, it's also an aeration thing.
Oh.
To help decomposition occur quicker. So, I want your skeleton as fast as I can get it.
I know.
I'm just kidding.
I promised her my skeleton because she wants one. And I think that would be wonderful to hang out in her house.
It would be great to have Susan in my living room. Part of my...
entourage.
Yes. Part of my specimen collection. So you're 3 feet in. I've seen some people have these companies in like Colorado and stuff like that where they kind of put you almost in like a metal job box that's about 3 feet deep and it's filled with dirt and they aerate that soil. They probably put a bunch of enzymes in there similar to the
mushrooms,
you know.
And compost you.
And it composts you. I'm not sure exactly how long it takes.
And then they'll send you to your family that can plant you.
Mm-hmm.
That could put you in the ground and plant something.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see what that's like or what you actually get in return, because there was probably about a yard or a yard and a half of dirt in those boxes, which if you know what that looks like, it's an entire back of the truckload full of dirt.
Right.
You know, like it will max your axle out to have that much dirt.
Well, so. The thing that, I mean, like that's important and good in places like Colorado where you can't bury people. And there are certain parts of the world where you need alternative methods. But on Kauai, you're not going to ship a body to somewhere where they compost it. And we don't, composting for us is just... stick them in the ground. Oops. Somebody wants to talk to us. Uh-oh.
I think this is my friend who actually
did
a composting burial. Let's see. KKCR. Wholesome, are you there? Hello? Oh, wait, hold on. Hey, Wholesome, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi.
Hi. This is my friend Wholesome, and she actually did a green burial with her auntie, and they composted it. They did a composting burial. Is that right?
That is right, yeah.
Tell us all about it.
Right.
Well, there's a lot to tell, to be honest. The process for doing something like this is, you know... thinking a long-term care for your burial site, and that's something my aunt did for herself, and decided that she didn't want to go with the traditional, you know, being put into having embalming fluid put into your body when you die with chemicals,
mm-hmm.
instead, or you know, like formaldehyde and to embalm yourself. Anyway, she decided to go with a different process, which is the natural burial.
Yes.
And it's a green sort of gravesite. And most of the times this takes a little bit more space than a natural other form of burial, the conventional burial, I guess is what it's called. I think it's 500 per acre as to the conventional is 1,200 per acre of people can be buried in a site, but futuristically, the site could be reused.
Right, because she didn't stay there, right?
Right, while people end up being broken down. The place I went for my aunt, they actually have a space where you could sit and you could, like, drink tea and
like a memorial.
Say prayers and be there while the decomposition happens. And then in the end, after a year's time, they give it back, and then you take that and you do have to do certain, I mean, it's not something that just happens. You have to go through a process of making permits with the city. Because
what did you get back when you got something back? Dirt?
Yeah, you kind of get back. I mean, it's the decompositioned body. It's not just dirt. It was my aunt,
Mixed with dirt.
Mixed with dirt and things that they use to decompose a body after, it takes about a year.
A year.
And then they grind the bones. And then they give it back. So it goes through a process before they actually give it back to you.
Yeah, that was the part she didn't like.
And then for you to actually, like, say you wanted to put it in your backyard, which that's what is going to happen with my aunt,
mm-hmm.
is they're going to have to get a permit from the county coroner
to be in compliance
and then register the, record of the body, because you can't just bury a body in your backyard and get a tax break on a homestead or anything like that. You can, but it's a process, and you really have to have, like, more than one body, and you have to register it, and you have to pay for a permit for the disposition
of the thing itself
that's required from that to be in compliance. So it's a whole process, but in the end, it is a green process, and you're not spending thousands of dollars on a casket, which you'd want, like, in a normal cemetery for the upkeep and the permanent body going to be there forever and never actually breaking completely down. They put cement to hold the grass so that it doesn't sink in. People can mow the lawn and it look,
right.
Uniform. But in a natural grave base, it's done differently, and they use different sorts of markers that are like trees, which also help with the breakdown of the body. And they also use things like, rocks, just natural mm-hmm. rocks.
Yeah,
not big headstones or anything like that. Something that is more what is supposed to be in the environment.
Whoa.
I mean, because we really, as a humanity, have gone far to the right of what, and far to the left from dust to mausoleums, which are
right.
far.
Yeah. There's all different
right.
kinds of ways to, all different kinds of ways, and that's what we're talking about today. We're going to talk to a guy in a little while who has a a dream to sort of have exactly what you just explained, a cemetery that has the trees as the markers and that kind of stuff. So we're going to learn all about that in just a minute. But thank you so much for calling, friend.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me again. And also, I just got a B plus an 89.27 in my math class this summer. So
hooray.
That's almost an A.
Yeah, almost an A there.
Go.
I understand the math, so
There you go. Those are the statistics we're looking for. Thank you, baby.
All right. Thank you. Have a great summer, you guys. Oh, and I just want to say before I let you go that I'd like to give my deepest condolences to Sharon Osbourne.
Aww.
Oh, cool.
Ozzy.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Ozzy.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Thank you all.
Bye. That was a something. So they had one of the things that she didn't cover was that they had a viewing prior to the, you know, the composting, and or prior to the disposition, and she called me from the viewing and was sort of a bit miffed because they didn't really prepare the body very well because they didn't do anything to it because it's a green burial. You know,
right?
So
what did she expect?
She was in a shroud, and you know, she didn't have any makeup on or anything like that, but they also didn't have her her
mouth closed.
Mouth was not closed, and so that was sort of like unexpected.
So beware, you're not going to be made pretty if you're not embalmed and all of that. You're just going to be
regular.
Mm-hmm. So I'm in favor of that. I don't wear makeup now.
Well, I think it's funny that we even have your head hanging out. Like, why not just be full mummy and, like, have all the wraps around
you?
Oh,
you mean the shroud?
Whatever. Yeah.
Why not?
Because you're already in a shroud.
Right, and you've already agreed. When you agree to a green burial, you're agreeing to something that isn't all orchestrated.
When I've seen some funerals around here, when Filipino people bury, they put an extra change of clothes in their casket.
Oh.
So they go dressed in their really fine clothes, but then they have their pair of slippers and a pair of like shorts and a shirt.
Wow.
And inside there with them. I always thought that was cool. They're gonna change and they get
sort of an extension of what the Egyptians did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Give you everything you need.
They're going to change when they get to the other side,
right.
Which is pretty cool.
So should we read some of the Till Bodhi calls?
Yeah.
I have laws and regulations for green burials in Hawaii, which says Hawaii allows natural burials in designated cemeteries or natural burial grounds. Must comply with the county or state health and safety regulations regarding the grave location. It's generally permitted to bury remains in private property. This is good for lots of people to know, with proper approval and adherence to health standards through the varies of county, by county. Variances, but it doesn't say that.
So I think that some of the things, like we were kind of talking about, if you're Jewish, you traditionally have a green burial. You're buried in a shroud.
Yeah, but
they want
traditionally
you in the ground
everybody did
before 24 hours.
Well, that part, yeah, you
no
have
embalming
to be buried right away. Oh,
you're in a wooden casket that's just made of plywood,
right?
And then sometimes back in the day, I don't know if they do it anymore. I didn't ever see, but they have holes drilled in the bottom of the casket.
Oh, I grew up in a Jewish household. I didn't know any. I just knew you had to be put in the ground right away, but people had coffins and...
Well, it was a coffin, but not like a fine one.
Well, you're talking about a tradition that isn't necessarily, you know, like all anybody does. So,
we've done... So, my point being is that the cemetery that is located behind the high school in Lihue, have you been to that one? It's way up on the top of a hill. It's beautiful. It looks out over all of Nawili Willy.
Cool.
It has a mausoleum, and then it has burial plots, and then it has a separate section that's the Jewish section. And there's only like four headstones there.
I can imagine.
Because people don't know it's there.
Plus, how many Jewish people came to this island? It wasn't,
It's a late immigration, okay?
They're probably still alive, so.
Yeah, for sure. But that cemetery clearly lets, you know, green burials happen. Let's see, this is Bodie, I think.
So does the Catholic Church, by the way.
KKCR. Hey, Bodie, one second. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yay.
How's it going today? Happy Sunday.
It's a beautiful day.
Not too bad.
Been hanging out with my wife and my grandson, little tiny grandson, and that's been really sweet. And then I got some big news about a friend who's dying and that I didn't know anything about. And so it's a full spectrum day.
Wow.
And it's beautiful over here. And I'm sitting in the jungle looking out my window at the forest right out here. And I just jumped in the stream and left my beautiful wife and grandson down by the stream.
Well, thank you for joining us. And
really. But at least you don't have to
go. Hi, Susan. Hi, Jenna.
Hi, Bodie.
Hello.
We're so glad you were able to call in because you're kind of more expert at this subject. We already have a couple of questions we want to ask you.
Okay, good. I'm not an expert, but maybe I can.
Well,
help,
you
know
certain things
bit.
That we don't know. But
and I like hanging out with you and Jenna. So
I know we're all here. On the same page, so to speak.
Hey, really quick before we get carried away. You've got a training coming up, don't you?
You bet I do, and I want people to sign up for it because it'll change their lives if they want to change
their
lives.
Give them a shameless plug.
Facing Death, Nourishing Life. This is the seventh year of our online training, which goes for 7 weeks, and it meets 2 times a week on Zoom, and it will definitely change how you live your life every day if you take the course.
When is it?
And that's what I hear from people all the time. It starts on the 29th of September and runs through, I think it's the 13th of November, Mondays and Thursdays at 10 o'clock in the morning on Zoom.
Moving into the fall season, that's a nice thing.
And you can find out more if you go to Doorway into Light and go to the education menu.
Great. That's
so thanks for the plug.
Yeah, that's Bodie's website, Doorway into Light.
And I highly recommend it because the workshop I did with him was remarkable and did change my life. So
you can also find him at the Maui Death Store,
right?
Yeah, the Death Store.
Bodie's our friend.
In fact,
from Maui.
I should send you. I sent Susan the. I'm on the cover of the Maui, one of the Maui magazines for the next 3 months.
I sent it to her.
You got it right, Susan?
I did. I read it and I immediately sent it to Jenna.
It was
because
great.
Oh, good.
It's
oh,
perfect.
Oh,
it's so like on topic in so many ways.
I'm laying inside of a casket and it says think inside the box.
Yep. Right. That's the joke of it. But the reality is what you're trying to create on Maui, especially for, like you said, the homeless and the indigent. And I've been, you know, in my own small way, crusading here, at least to get the Hawaiians a place to be buried. Green.
Absolutely. That's so important.
Yeah, but
that's
what
so
you're
important
doing
because,
is... Yeah.
Because death, like everything else, discriminates against poor people.
Yeah,
because
right.
It's such a big business.
Well, you've been making me even more aware of that, and what your work has done on Maui is, you know, address that issue because... You know, you're the only nonprofit mortuary in the whole country. Is that what I heard?
I believe that's true. I thought it was just Hawaii, but I've been told there's not another one in America, which I'm proud to be the one.
Really?
But it's amazing that there's only one. I guess nonprofit funeral home is considered by most people to be an oxymoron, given what we've turned death into in the West.
Exactly. I mean, talking with Jenna, who's worked at mortuaries and seeing the ridiculous cost these days, it's, you know, in India, they were, Varanasi, they were a little pouch with the money for the wood to cremate them when they die, to burn them. And that's kind of like you have to take out a loan to think how you
pay for the wood.
Yeah. Anyway, so tell us what you're planning.
We're planning to create, I'll take a step back. What's currently the modern cemetery is it's one single use, burials and tombstones, and it's basically taken out of the public domain forever for that one single use. We think that's a poor use of land, especially in Hawaii where land is, you know, there's just so much of it and not so much of it. Right. And so the plan is to actually create a place that's multi-purpose, and that rather than it only being about dead people, which I like to say is, I call it affordable housing for the dead. It's a place where I say, hold on a second, life and death can interweave in healthy community life. In other words, cemeteries people only go to sit, visit a grave or to be at a burial. And we want to create something that's a park and a sanctuary and has a playground and has a pet cemetery and has nature gardens, meditation areas, picnic areas, walking trails that people want to go to, not because somebody died, but because it's a beautiful place.
Sounds where wonderful.
Community gatherings could happen. Family picnics could happen.
You mean you're not going to put a gate with a lock on it? It's not going to be closed at dark?
Well, it may be closed. It may have hours because we don't want people moving in that aren't dead.
Right.
I live on a piece of land that's, we've created a public-private park.
Yeah.
That hundreds and hundreds of people come to every day to come to these waterfalls on the edge of our land.
Mm.
So it would need to be a managed public-private space. So it might have a gate and a lock, but the idea is to have it be very open and inviting and welcoming for everybody.
Yeah.
For no matter who you are, that there's a place for you to be. So it's, yeah, multi-purpose, and again, protected in the public domain forever by a nonprofit organization that's not just going to turn it into a private moneymaker. The larger vision is to actually have a social model hospice, and that's a new trend that's happening in America now of hospices that don't have the medical piece to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the social model hospice is supported by the medical piece that comes from somewhere else. That the social model hospice is about the emotional, psychological, and spiritual support.
Excuse me, doesn't
and of course,
that?
And of course, we're training people and have been certifying people for years now in the emotional, psychological, and spiritual care of dying people, and those people and family members and staff members would be the staff of the social model hospice. So in mm-hmm. other words, we would be training people that would then practice, at least some of them would be practicing in this social model hospice.
Yeah.
And even the larger vision of that is a community that lives on this land to basically help, you know, help manage it and help care for dying people and help care for the land. So it's a big vision. Of course, we'd be happy with just a plot of land where we could bury people inexpensively. There's no place currently, except if you get a permit to bury somebody in your backyard, a family member in your backyard, there's no place in Hawaii where you can actually plant a tree over a grave.
Mm.
No place. And on Maui, there's only one green cemetery, and I'll get into what that means. And I don't know, as far as I know, there's not a green cemetery on Kauai. And if I'm incorrect about that, I want to know because people are calling me about it.
I was told
asking me if there are any green funeral homes or green cemeteries on Kauai. So yeah, educate me.
Okay, so two things I've heard. One, I heard from Jenna today about where they bury Jewish people somewhere in Lihue because they aren't allowed. They're basically, it's a green burial because there's no formaldehyde and just a shroud and blah, blah. But the other thing I heard is my doctor is Catholic, and he said he just got a plot at the Catholic cemetery where he could be put in the ground in a shroud with it. I mean, that's basically when we're talking about the basic green burial, is we're just talking about no nonsense shroud and in the ground. So you can do it at the Catholic Church and maybe somewhere in Lahui. So
there's,
well, that's good. And I knew here too you can be buried and basically the difference is at the basic level, every other cemetery encases you either in a concrete box. Your casket would go in the ground inside of a concrete box. Or crazy. It would go in the ground inside of a big plastic box.
Inside of a vault. It's called a right? vault.
It's
yeah.
like it's like those big boxes you see. Everybody has them now, these big black boxes with the flat yellow lid over it that most everybody has. And basically, if you turn that upside down, that's what they do in most cemeteries. They'll put you on the lid and put the bottom over you, over the casket.
Ashes, too.
But what are those?
But that's not the only. Go ahead.
Why do people have that box? What are they for, tools? Or I've never heard of a
box.
The box yellow is, lid. Yeah.
The box is so. It's a great question. I guess it's to help make you last longer after you're dead.
No.
Some notion that you'll be the worms won't get to you or that kind of thing.
No.
And
so,
of course that's a myth anyway because.
Of course.
Even if you're embalmed, and maybe I'll talk about that a little bit, because a lot of people think embalming is a cosmetic practice. In fact, an embalming is where they actually puncture every organ in your body and drain all the blood and all the fluids in your organs and replace all of that with a toxic chemical, which often contains formaldehyde, a known carcinogen. Which is why some countries in Europe have outlawed it, because it ends up seeping into the groundwater. And it's also why embalmers have a higher cancer rate than everybody else, or not at least everybody else that works in the funeral industry.
Yeah, embalming fluid makes
so that's one super that's one
high.
Piece of it. In terms of what I view is, if you ask me what is a green burial, and you wouldn't be embalmed. And of course,
right.
People go, well, then what happens? What happens if I want to see Grandma? And of course, at our facility we have a refrigerator that keeps bodies very cold, and so they don't decompose really hardly at all, hardly noticeable at all. And weeks later, they could look pretty fresh and pretty, almost like they just died. And so, and then if people want to keep somebody at home after they died. And when we encourage everybody to keep somebody at home after they died, there's no reason to immediately have the body, have your loved one immediately taken away to a funeral home. I think actually it does us a tremendous disservice and breaks into our grieving, in that we don't get to actually be with our loved one and have some time with your loved one. Because otherwise, so many people are like, as soon as Grandma dies, we want the funeral to come home. And the next time we see Grandma, we're either picking up the ashes, which in fact aren't ashes, they're bone fragments, or we're seeing Grandma embalmed, often looking a little bit like Grandma. And that break between the time Grandma died at home and the next time you see Grandma is that part that breaks into our grieving. And also, we're not getting to participate in any of those steps, and we rob ourselves by not participating in any of those steps. So we encourage families, keep your loved one home for at least overnight. If you want to keep that your loved one home for even 2 or 3 days,
it's okay.
We tell them how to keep the body cold. You know, obviously, right. you want to be in a room that doesn't bring flies and bugs. You want to keep the body cold, and then you want to put ice packs underneath the organs, underneath the back. It's not rocket science. Every few hours you check to see if you need to rotate and put new ice packs. Or actually, we get these things on Amazon that are called, what are they called? Aqua. I can send you that, the name of the thing on Amazon, that I think are better than ice. And then, you know, be part of participating in caring for your dying loved one. And often the reason why people want to keep their loved one at home is because the truth of the matter is you don't die in a minute. You don't die just because some machine says your brain and your heart stop working. That's just one level of what's happening, and you don't die right away. And I've seen it, being around dead bodies, you don't die right away in a minute.
So what do you think?
And that's why the Buddhists often think they're not stuck on this three-day thing, but sometimes it takes 2 or 3 days for the spirit to leave the body.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that.
Yeah, I was wondering how many days they figure it takes.
And sometimes, so now we're up to the burial, and what's a green burial? And it's not just that the body doesn't get embalmed, but you do something like a canvas, like we'll do a cotton canvas shroud, or we have cardboard caskets. Every funeral home has cardboard caskets, because unless the family is requesting to have their loved one cremated in some fancy casket, then the funeral home itself will burn you in a cardboard casket. And now we've actually used those cardboard caskets at cemeteries to bury people in the one cemetery on Maui that will allow us to do that, in the one cemetery that doesn't have any kind of grave liner requirement. So a body could be in a cardboard box and lowered into a hole, and that's a green burial, no embalming. The amount of concrete is staggering, how much concrete goes into the ground every year, the amount of metal that goes into the ground. It's like tons of metal from these fancy caskets. Tropical hardwoods, endangered tropical hardwoods are going into the ground. On and on and on, concrete, metals, plastics. That's not a green burial.
Right.
But
there is one.
And it's so simple, and it's what's been going on. It's what's been going on forever. You know, right. It's what's been going forever until it got turned into like a money making thing.
Yeah. You can really charge a lot of money for those caskets.
But also.
And the notion that if you have grandma embalmed, that she'll be preserved longer. Isn't actually true, is what they've proven out now, that even in the absence of oxygen, that anaerobic digestion of the body, which is digestion that happens where there's no oxygen present, still happens, and oftentimes creates a gaseous state in the body in those situations. And so they've had caskets explode because of the anaerobic digestion.
That's
so the notion that you're actually preserving the body by embalming it is a myth. Mm-hmm. The reason why people want somebody embalmed is because it looks like grandma when we go see her. And mostly if they do a really good job, it looks like grandma. When I saw my dad after he died, when I was a teenager, it didn't look a lot like my dad. And I've heard plenty of stories where people were offended by seeing what their loved one looked like after the embalming. So yes, there's one cemetery here on Maui, and it's a nonprofit cemetery, fortunately. Mm-hmm. And we've been working them. It's not inexpensive though, and we've been working with them since 2012.
So where's the expense?
And then what's the expense?
The plot.
The cemetery wants, I think, now they want $1,200 just to dig the hole and fill the hole.
Okay.
Then depending on where you want your grave and how big your area is, it could be anywhere from $4,000 on up. So that's more than $5,000 just for that part of it. Then you need somebody like us to do everything from picking up the body to refrigerating the body, to preparing the body for burial, to delivering the body to the cemetery, to making sure the burial happens correctly. And I think right now we get $2,500 for that. And that doesn't include if somebody wants a casket or what kind of casket they want. And And fortunately now, the people that come to us are loving the idea of the cardboard casket. Or I make these simple, beautiful pine box caskets.
The cardboard casket's cool because people can write on it and stuff.
Kids, I've seen pictures of kids decorating Grandpa's casket. Well,
the pine casket, is that the one you're in on the magazine cover?
Yeah. In fact, every time I'm crafting one of those, in my mind I'm going, well, is that one for me? and that one was for me, but temporarily. The cardboard casket, a lot of times we'll paint them white with some non-toxic white paint so that families can decorate them. And people have done some amazing things painting.
Go
ahead.
I was wondering if, because I know you do sea burials, and I was wondering if you have to be in a plastic bag to be dumped at sea.
No, nothing like that. In fact, we do ocean body burials.
Yeah, how does that work?
We bury the whole body in the ocean. And that we've been doing also since 2012.
I remember.
And we get the permit we would get for any burial.
Yeah.
Any cremation or burial needs a permit from the state of Hawaii, and we get that permit. And then we need to file with the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, exactly the details of that burial, the GPS coordinates, the distance from shore. We need to be at least 3 miles from any shore and 600 feet deep and outside of the whale sanctuary.
Ooh.
And we end up going about 10 miles out to get, because where we mostly launch from, it's very shallow, and the whale sanctuary goes out quite a ways.
Yeah.
But when we've done burials out in Hana, we go out 3 miles, and it's way over 600 feet deep, and we'll wrap the body in a cotton canvas, like sailcloth cotton canvas shroud that we then tie up, and inside of that tied up shroud are burlap bags filled with sand. We have to make sure the body sinks.
Right.
And it's actually so beautiful to actually be on a boat for maybe sometimes for an hour. And everybody's on board. Maybe it's the family. Maybe it's the family and friends. And there's the body, looking like a body wrapped in a shroud, on deck.
Wow.
And it's quite powerful to be with the body. And of course, the energetic going out is much different than after the body slides into the ocean.
Mm.
And then we're going back, and now the energy's been freed up in a very big way.
Wow.
And when we stop, It's so beautiful. I encourage everybody, bring bagfuls of flowers, and then we'll stop somewhere when we get to the spot, and the family, or we'll help the family have a little ceremony, and the body's now strapped to a stretcher board, one of those boards, body boards, and then we'll get the body board and the body up on the edge of the boat. And after the ceremony that the family's conducted, or we've helped conduct, and then we'll unstrap the body, and the body will slide off the board into the ocean. And you'll see it for a moment, and then it'll disappear into the deep.
Into the deep.
And then sometimes the family wants to jump in after they throw all the flowers.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes people want to jump in for a little bit in that spot. And then I ask the boat captain to circle around the flowers a couple of times. It's so beautiful. And then we slowly sail back, or we motor back.
Do you do that on other islands? Did I hear once?
I wanted to. I've been asked to, but the state won't let me do that unless I have an actual facility. All right. Like if I had a facility on Kauai, for example, which is just a place where I could plug in a body refrigerator,
right.
I could probably I could then do that on Kauai.
Uh-huh.
Right. I'd have to walk around. What I did on Maui was I walked around the dock one day and I asked boat captains if they would be willing to help me do an ocean body burial. And mm-hmm. a lot of captains said no, and then I found we have a number of captains now that work with us, and I'd have to do that in Kauai. I'd have to go find some boat. Sometimes people themselves know somebody with a boat, or they have a boat. It doesn't take a big boat unless you want a bunch of people on the boat.
So if somebody knew someone with a boat and they just wanted that person to take them out and dump them, that would be all right.
I don't like the word dump. I don't use the word dump. After all the permits were in place, your friend with a boat. I like a boat that's a little bit bigger than a 10, 15-foot boat. But sometimes we've done it on a 10-foot boat or 15-foot boat.
But do you have to have a cooler on the boat, or do you have to have a...
No. The body's laying there, wrapped in the shroud, strapped to a bodyboard.
Can you get permits? This is kind of a silly question, but what if I wanted to get all the permits in place now, and then when I do go, they can just take me out and dump me in the ocean?
You have to have a death certificate to get the permit.
Oh, we have to get, okay. Yeah.
No, it doesn't work that way. It works the other way around, that you get the burial permit, and after the burial happens, the burial permit is submitted to the state, and then the state will actually generate a death certificate, and that can take a month or two.
But if you...
That's the way it works. The burial has to happen, or the cremation has to happen, in order for the paperwork to then be fed into the state in order to generate a death certificate. And a lot of people don't know that. And,
the disposition has to occur.
And think they're going to get a death certificate right away, right?
Right, the death
disposition has to happen first.
Disposition has to occur first.
So they have to be buried before you get a death certificate?
So then your question, Susan.
Yeah.
If you called up or somebody called up and said, Susan died and I want to get a permit, more than likely they're going to tell you to call a funeral home, that they don't really want to deal with you because they're turning everything into an electronic process.
Yeah.
And so we have access to their electronic filing system, and everybody else doesn't unless you're a funeral home.
The EDR.
You could push it because in Hawaii, legally, anybody has the right to be their own, to be a funeral director, but they discourage it in a big way. Go get a funeral home involved.
Of course.
And actually, you'd have to go to a place, you'd have to go to a funeral home to be refrigerated until the ocean body burial could happen. That's because, one, this may not be your story, but one, sometimes a family wants some relatives to fly in to be part of the whole thing, and two, sometimes the ocean's too rough and we have to wait a week or more.
Yeah.
So, which is why if Kauai got it together and could pay to support a little warehouse space and a refrigerator, then Kauai could offer ocean body burials, because I'd come over, or somebody from Doorway into Light would come over and make it happen.
Sounds fantastic. It's something to look into. Maybe someone's listening to the show who